That's right. Lord, you are our God. By the power of your Holy Spirit, teach us through your word to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our first reading, as Doug mentioned, is about Naomi and Ruth. It's really a nice story and probably familiar to many of you. It's verses 1 through 17. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. They took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. When they had lived there for about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that Naomi was left without her two sons or her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had had consideration for his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, and she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. Then they said to Naomi, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb, that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." There ends the reading.
Our gospel reading this morning is from the gospel as Mark recorded it, chapter 3. Then his, meaning Jesus' mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The last 2 weeks, we've talked about people having challenges and responding to those challenges. Moses is called to go bring the Hebrew people out of slavery in Egypt, whether the Pharaoh likes it or not. He and God succeed. God parts the water, and the Hebrews walk out of Egypt right through the sea, dry shod. Then the people were given a list of rules while they were wandering around in the desert. Other people have some of these rules. Nobody else has rules that are this strict. At first glance, it looks like the Hebrews are the most restricted people on earth. They don't actually follow all those rules very often. But when they do, they find that those rules actually make them the freest people on earth. If everybody's following those rules, they're free from fear of what their fellow Hebrews will do. Today we heard the beginning of the story of two women who had perhaps a more difficult challenge than either Moses or the first Hebrew people. Naomi and her husband are refugees. They are Hebrew people who, faced with a famine, travel with their two sons to where there was food, the land of Moab in present-day Jordan. There they settle down and become part of the local community. Their two sons marry Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. This state of affairs lasts about 10 years, but then both Naomi's husband and her sons die. The only names we have recorded for the sons are Mahlon and Chilion, literally sickness and death. There are no grandchildren, so Naomi is left with her two daughters-in-law and no man in the family. This is before women had property rights. They are not merely poor, they are bereft. All three women are grieving for their husbands. They have no property, because the property all went to the nearest male heir. There's no such thing as a job that a woman can hold, except for what's been called the oldest profession. And nobody has enough money for that to even be steady work. They have nothing, and no way to get anything. They have no one to protect them from even casual abuse at the hands of anybody who feels like it. They can reasonably expect to slowly starve to death. Not necessarily because anybody bears them any particular ill will, but simply because nobody cares enough and has enough extra to feed them. They've seen that happen to other women. They have no reasonable hope of anything ever getting better in Moab. Then they hear that a great harvest is expected in a place called the House of Bread, or Bethlehem. This is where Naomi grew up. This is the same Bethlehem where Jesus is born 1,000+ years later to be the one we call the bread of the world. But that's another sermon. So, Naomi starts to go home. That's about a 120-mile walk that climbs over 3,700 feet in elevation. Imagine walking from here to Akron, but the climb goes up as if you're climbing into the mountains, far higher than any point in Ohio. During this walk, which would be a minimum of 4 days for strong, healthy people, they would potentially be at the mercy of bandits or any other unscrupulous people who see a woman or a few women traveling alone. But just like any other refugee, Naomi would not be making this journey if it wasn't better than staying where she was. Naomi starts walking. Orpah and Ruth start following her. Now, Naomi knows that she, at least, is a Hebrew by birth, and she might be able to find some distant relative or get somebody in Bethlehem to take her in. Her Moabite daughters-in-law, well, they would be foreign refugees in the land of another tribe. just like she had been in Moab. In addition to her believing that they'd be better off in Moab, I can understand that she doesn't want to be responsible for them when she has nothing to give them. Naomi tries to let her daughters-in-law off the hook. She blesses them, tells them to go back to their parents' house and start over. She's been an outsider in Moab. She didn't like it. She doesn't want them to have to be outsiders in Bethlehem. Orpah is on board with this idea. She goes back to her mother's house and starts over. And she disappears from our story. We have no idea what happened to her after this point. Ruth, though, Ruth doesn't go so easily. Ruth demonstrates something that's all over the Old Testament, but usually from God toward God's people. That is something called Hesed. Hesed is love, but it's not romantic or sexual love. A translation that gets at what Hesed is covenant love. Hesed is love that includes an unfailing loyalty, even when the person who is loved does not deserve it. That's the thing. As Faulkner said, you don't love because. You love despite. Not for the virtues, but despite the faults. Hesed is one of the defining characteristics of God. One of those things that defines who God is in relationship to us. God is loyal to God's people even when God's people mess up. God is loyal to God's people even when God's people are not loyal to God. God is loyal to God's people even when they are not coherently loyal to each other or to themselves. Hesed is not merely good feelings or saying something nice about someone. Hesed is love in action. If you can't point to something concrete that was done because of Hesed, it may be love, it may be loyalty, but it's not Hesed. Hesed is enduring love in the long term. God says to the Hebrew people through Isaiah that though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing Hesed for you will not be shaken. The last verse of the 23rd Psalm says, surely goodness and Hesed shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Mercy is just such a weak translation here. Hesed is so much more. The ultimate expression of Hesed in the Bible is in the Gospel of John, where John explains that this is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son, and this is why. So that no one need to be destroyed, by believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. Listen again to how Ruth describes Hesed. Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me and more as well, if even death parts me from you. That is what Hesed is. This passage right there is, I'm sure, part of why the book of Ruth was included in the Bible. As Bishop Michael Curry famously said, if it's not about love, then it's not about God. This is the kind of love he was talking about. Not romance, not sex. Those are good things, pleasant things. But they're just the icing on the cake. The cake is love. God is not the only one who can demonstrate Hesed. Even we human beings are made in the image of God. Hesed is a bone-weary father who drives through the night to bail his son out of jail again. and then take him to his fifth attempt at rehab. Hesed is a mom who spends day after thankless day spoon-feeding and wiping up after her disabled child. Even George Gershwin paraphrased Isaiah when he wrote that in time the Rockies may crumble, Gibraltar may tumble, they're only made of clay, but our love is here to stay. My sisters and brothers, this Hesed is the kind of love that God has for you. Even when you mess up, even when you wander off in the wrong direction altogether to find where demons dwell. The whole Bible is full of stories about how much God loves God's people. And how, as people doing our best to follow Jesus Christ, that includes us. Take comfort in that, and then go love other people that way. Or as Jesus would say, go thou and do likewise. Amen.